This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Thank you so much for tuning in. Got Jess P.S. on the board, Matt Rothschild joining me, co-hosting today, and jazzed as hell to introduce to you Wisconsin State Rep. Francesca Hong, representing Wisconsin's 76th Assembly District, out on the road doing some canvassing. Francesca, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Dom. Hey, Matt. Very excited to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you so much. Before we get going into the local state politics, I want to get your sense of how the election's going, how you felt VP Harris did in her big speech last night at the Ellipse in D.C. What's your thought?
I mean, I think those were her closing remarks, right? The impression that she wanted to leave the American people with was that she is going to be a president that is recognizes who we are as Americans, that we are not here to divide one another, but we need someone who can unite us. And I think that was what many folks needed to hear. And I think the location, delivery, and the vibes of their speech were very symbolic.
Yes, it was a great speech, and the symbolism was telling. Here in the state of Wisconsin and lots of places, Francesca, it's tight. It's out there. Now, you, everyone's up for election, right? But you're in a pretty safe spot. What are you doing today, Francesca?
I am here in wonderful Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I'm canvassing for a fantastic candidate who is running for the state assembly, Ryan Spouty, like Rowdy. I was hitting doors earlier this afternoon and had some folks who were very excited that they were very excited to vote for Democrats, but didn't quite know, had two people who didn't know who Ryan was yet. So it was exciting to tell him that I just chatted with him, how he's going to be fighting for his communities. And I even helped one person find out where her early voting site was. So canvassing works, folks. If you're anxious about the election right now, go knock some doors.
What are they telling you at the doors the most important issue is to them?
I had more folks who were willing to talk issues with me, actually, when we were in Appleton earlier this morning. I hear a lot about abortion and reproductive rights. Mm-hmm. We have folks who are also talking about public education. You know, there's over 190 districts that are going to referenda this year. And we know that strong public schools make for strong communities. And so issues that are very close to folks' communities and to their families are the things that they're going to be talking about. So I hear a lot about public education, abortion, and tackling rising costs. And I'm glad to hear now folks are able to name the villain a little bit more, right? We should be having everyone talk about price gouging and corporate greed, because that is ultimately one of the biggest reasons as to why we are in the current economic situation we're in today.
And the villain on the public education issue goes back to Scott Walker, because he was cutting back so savagely on funds for public education, right?
Absolutely. When they don't want to deal with the problem, they go after folks. And so they attacked our educators. They attacked union workers. The cornerstone of democracy is public education. And there's a reason why they've been aiming to dismantle it, undermine it, and underfund it for the last 13 years.
Francesca Hong, Wisconsin State Rep from 76th Assembly District. Francesca, the national conversation versus the local conversation. Now, we heard about abortion rights a little bit. I'm curious what your sense is when it comes to other of the national issues. There's a big push here recently of talking once again. Joe Biden was doing it for a while. And of course, Harris came on and kind of talked more about freedom. But now, more recently, have been talking about the danger to democracy. Is the danger to democracy and supporting democracy, is that something that is resonating, or is that more of a national conversation in your opinion?
I certainly think democracy is still top of mind for Wisconsin voters. I mean, they have been watching us become a voter suppression state. gerrymandered states are voter suppression states. And so there were questions I answered yesterday about, hey, I don't have a driver's license, but I have a passport. Is that okay to bring? I mean, that's after the voter ID laws. There's questions about, things that are slowly starting to sow doubts. You can take that from the constitutional amendment question that we have about non-citizen voting. And so democracy, I think, maybe the word itself feels big, but it's one that is absolutely connected to freedoms. And it's one that folks are worried about when you've got a fascist who's running for office.
Yeah, Francesca, I'm sorry, Matt, let me just go one more and then you can go. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show, Wisconsin State Rep. Francesca Hong joining us. The economic issues, you know, it's always about the economics and the table issues. What's your sense? I mean, I think people, in my opinion, Francesca, kind of forget what it was like under Trump. I mean, the whole pandemic thing, I'm going to block that out a little bit myself. But depending on how you look at it, if you look at GDP, if you look at unemployment, if you look at, job growth, those kinds of macroeconomic things, I think it's difficult to say that we're worse off now than we were then, especially given the circumstances. But it still seems to be some headwinds with the inflation and people's personal pocketbooks. How is the economic conversation going, Francesca?
Working families are struggling with rising costs. And I think that one of the ways that we can combat that and really talk about how to address it is to talk about solutions we can do at the state. When we make investments in childcare, when we make investments in public education, when we go after folks who are corporations who are being greedy, when we raise the minimum wage, which we can do at the state level, folks start to think about, okay, I do understand maybe a little bit more about how we got here, but what's going to be the immediate impact to my pocketbook? And I think when you start talking about the ways that we can make investments now so that you do not have to struggle as much now, people start to think, and we can't underestimate voters when it comes to what is going on in their lives, what is happening to them, they're not going to want to think about GDP and trade wars. But I think it is really important that we affirm, we don't lecture, and we talk about ways that the state can make the investments that they should have been making a while ago to start alleviating costs for working families.
I mean, I think that's the main point, Matt Rothschild talking here, Rep Hong. I mean, people feel, the price, when they're paying for car insurance or where they're paying for rent. And it does hit them hard. I mean, it's just hard to make ends meet for a majority of people in the state and in this country. And the huge percentage of people's incomes that go to pay rent or their mortgage, it's just outrageous. And so we need to, I think you're right, we need to speak to people where they're at. I want to ask about, what the Republicans are throwing at. They're not throwing solutions here. They're both at the state level and Trump, they're doing two issues, anti-immigrant and anti-trans. And I know the guy you're campaigning for, Ryan Spouty up there, he's been facing the some of the ugly anti-trans rhetoric. How to respond to that?
Ryan, at his core, is someone who cares deeply about his community, protecting his communities, and knowing that everyone deserves to feel safe. He can speak to his lived experiences when he's talking about those issues, but he also knows that we are not being solution-minded when we are just trying to point fingers. That doesn't get anything done. And so I think Ryan speaking very much to his how he's been able to overcome adversities and not take the bait, right? We know that when they are trying to divide and conquer, they do that with distraction. And bigotry and hate and fear-mongering, that's what the right has always aimed to do, to try to distract us from the solutions we can actually do and work on together. And so Ryan is interested in getting things done. He knows that the real issues that folks are dealing with right now are those rising costs, are access to childcare, making sure their kids are safe in school. These are issues that Ryan wants to tackle, not be distracted by hate mongering culture wars, where Republicans are going after less than a percentage of the population because they can't seem to deal with the issues themselves.
No, it seems to be all they got. I want to switch gears to another issue, and that is the presidential race. You're one of the most progressive representatives we have in the state capitol. And you have also been sympathetic to the plight of Palestinians in Gaza and critical of the military aid to Israel for this war they're raging. Some people who have those views are saying they can't vote for Kamala Harris. And I know when I posted something in favor of Kamala Harris on Facebook, people were calling me a neocon and stuff like that. I'm wondering how you respond and try to get the, you know, the Jill Stein folks to see the light on voting for Kamala Harris.
The war on Palestinians and the dehumanization of Palestinian life has been devastating. And I think that the response from communities is that we are hurting, we are devastated, and we have a ticket that is not speaking to our communities and what is most important to our communities right now. I fully affirm that grief, and I see it, and I feel it as well. But what I want to make sure is that this movement, the uninstructed and uncommitted movement, I think is the most amazing display of democracy that this country has seen in a while. When you build a movement and you're mobilizing people from all different races, faiths, zip codes, who want to fight for change, who want to lessen suffering, that is democracy. And for those folks, for us to continue to build that movement, we have to have the fertile ground and the conditions to do it. I want to fight back against the Harris administration that is not doing enough right now for an arms embargo, for a permanent ceasefire, and to stop killing Palestinian lives. I won't be able to do that work with the community that I need to work with under a Trump administration. So while those feelings of you know, deep pain are incredibly warranted and the horrors in Gaza have to end, we need people power to do it. And that power can only come about with movements that are created through organizing, through becoming a multiracial coalition. And the conditions in which to do that will happen, but not under a Trump administration.
Wisconsin State Rep. Francesca Hong, the last 60 seconds, a lot of folks are concerned, perhaps intimidated to get out and go vote, who to vote for, where to look for, to find out their information, whether they're registered or not. What would you do? What would you tell people here in the last several days before this election to calm their nerves and to get them out to vote?
Knock some doors, text three friends to ask them what their plan to vote is. Make sure your aunties, your uncles, your cousins, folks, all of the group chats, I want you to go into those group chats, ask people what their plan to vote is, and then tell those folks in those group chats to go to another group chat and ask them what their plan to vote is. Early voting here in Wisconsin is going on through November 3rd, and then you can register and vote on November 5th. Polls open at 8 a.m. Polls are open till 8 a.m.
State Rep. Francesca Hong, Wisconsin's 76th Assembly District. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much for having me. Not to put too fine a bun on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Make a little birdhouse in your soul. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Thank you, Dr. Melinda Brennan, Executive Director of the ACLU of Wisconsin. Go check out their site. They also, reviewing their Twitter feed, and they have a get out or vote early. They had all sorts of suggestions. They also have a hotline if you have any issues with your voting efforts, the Election Protection Hotline, as the ACLU of Wisconsin puts it, it's 866 Our Vote. So if you're seeking assistance while voting early on Election Day, help is available. That's the nonpartisan Election Protection Hotline, 866 Our Vote, 866-687-8683. I'll retweet that one out there as well. Love the ACLU. Love what they do standing up for folks. 855-752-4842. Dan Schaefer, a Civic Media's political editor, is going to join me at the bottom of the hour. But before we get to that, my friend Holly, a recent caller, sent me a Media Matters link this morning, and it resonates with me. Right-wing radio hosts in Wisconsin and other swing states are priming their audiences for election denial. Oh, hell yeah, they are. With baseless suggestions of non-voting citizens. I'm sorry, non-citizens voting. My bad. Illegal ballot harvesting and manufactured votes. Wisconsin radio host Vicki McKenna and others are telling listeners to reject a Trump loss before all the votes have even been cast. Emma May Weber reporting. The right-wing radio hosts in Wisconsin and also Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania are falsely suggesting election fraud is already taking place in the 2024 election. McKenna has been warning about mass voting by non-citizens as part of the cheat. Other Wisconsin radio hosts such as Dan O'Donnell and Mark Belling, as well as right-wing hosts from other swing states, are further contributing to a flood of misinformation this election cycle, including false claims of voter fraud and a stolen election.
Well, at least they're only doing that in the swing states.
You're right. And it's just ironic how, you know, the Republicans who win their election.
Well, that's free and fair and good.
But the other ones, you know, it's fraud if Trump loses.
Yeah.
Right-wing radio has a history of supporting election denialism, including in Wisconsin.
Oh, don't we know?
According to the article here, in 2016 and 2020, right-wing radio hosts helped push skepticism about election security ahead of the 2016 election. Rush Limbaugh, remember that guy?
Unfortunately.
Nobody really cares anymore. Rush criticized early voting and said, "What do you mean elections aren't rigged? Of course they are." In 2020, Philadelphia-based radio host Dom Giordano told listeners that people will break the law to defeat Trump, declaring, "Each day, each hour that goes by, I worry about fraud." In 2020, right-wing media and the Trump campaign focused on dissuading their supporters from voting by mail. That changed for 24, as we know, as Trump and the GOP launched a swap the vote to promote mail-in and early voting. Right-wing hosts are attempting to balance the election denial, often linked to attacks on mail-in voting, with encouraging their conservative listeners to vote early. Don't do it. Do it. Don't do it. I don't know. And in 2020 election, two conservative attorneys who helped formulate the Trump team's attempt to overturn election results with fake electors saw Wisconsin's far-right right-wing radio host as key allies in spreading their bogus theories. Vicki McKenna, Dan O'Donnell, and Mark Belling were each mentioned in texts between Trump lawyers Ken Cheese, bro. He's a cheese, bro. Don't be a cheese, bro. And Jim Troupis. Since then, the hosts have continued spreading election misinformation. Broadcasting from the RNC in Milwaukee earlier this year, WISN radio host Vicki suggested Democrats will steal the election.
Huh.
McKenna complained that liberals and the media, quote, say it's the Republicans who want to steal the election. They want to cancel elections after they steal an election. I know, it's absolutely rich. It's called projection in psychology terms. It's classic projection. You know, it's the same thing I say about you, Vicki. I mean, who's projecting here? And who actually tried to overturn the last election?
Let's think about that.
That was your crew.
That's right, it was.
That was Cheesebro and Troupis with your help. McKenna said that Trump's win in 2024 depends on whether or not we'll get ahead enough of the cheat. She said, if elections were held today, because the cheat's not established yet, the fraud is not in place, Trump would win. He'd win. Will he win on election day? Question mark. That all depends on whether or not we'll get ahead enough of the cheat.
Now, does that mean getting ahead as in, like, you know, starting to cheat before they cheat, because they're going to cheat, so we need to get ahead of them in the cheating, and then they won't cheat because we're cheating, but we're not cheating because they're cheating.
So much cheating going on. There's a lot here at the mediamatters.org. You can find it here, and we'll put this on
the show notes
as well.
Find that at civicmedia.us/shows.
There we go. WISN radio host Dan O'Donnell said, quote, "There is a finite number of ballots that can be reasonably manufactured or in some way fraudulently delivered and cast. I call that fraud margin." Encouraging his conservative listeners to cast their ballots early, O'Donnell estimated that the fraud margin is 1% of the total vote and advised listeners to just assume Democrats are going to be able to manufacture that many.
Huh.
The fraud margin. He's O'Donnell's.
I keep hearing frog.
O'Donnell, pardon me. O'Donnell said the Wisconsin Election Commission, I am told by multiple sources, has not adequately trained poll workers on how to spot a non-citizen's ID.
False.
I'm not going to lie to you and say that there is going to be a massive epidemic of non-citizen voting in election, but there very well could be. Dude said this, on the 22nd, like just over a week ago. Ranting about fraudulent voter registrations reported in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, O'Donnell assured his listeners that the Trump campaign won't make the same mistake they did in 2020 and just assume that Democrats are going to run an election fairly. Quote, I can guess which political party this would have benefited, O'Donnell said. Yeah, but they did a bunch in Michigan, I think the last election cycle, a bunch of folks put in fraudulent, you know, registrations and they filled them out illegally. Yeah, that happened. I think those were Republicans they were working for. I can guess which political party this would have benefited, but lest you think that Republicans in the Trump campaign are going to make the same mistakes they did in 2020 and just assume they're going to run a fair election, do everything on the up and up, they are not. They understand that you need to be watching for every possible trick in the book. And they go on to Mark Belling as well. There's more from Arizona. I mean, this is all over the place. Here in the state of Wisconsin, we got like 1,800 different election folks. It'd be one hell of a conspiracy to try to make that happen. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, going to join me next.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
On a long and lonesome highway east of Omaha, you can listen to the engine the moaning out his one old song. Think about the woman.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for listening. Got Jess P.S. on the board, co-hosting with my buddy Matt Rothschild, and jazzed as hell to reintroduce to you Greg Pallast, known for his investigative reports for The Guardian, bestsellers including The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. Just released the new film. I know some of our audience in Madison went and checked that out. Vigilantes, Inc., America's new vote suppression hitman, narrated by Rosario Dawson, produced by Martin Sheen, and a Leonardo DiCaprio put it on the stream. You can find it at gregpallast.com. Greg, welcome back. It's been a while, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be with you again, Dom.
It is a pleasure. So, Vigilantes, Inc. Greg, you've been all over voter suppression for years and years. What's the trend, Greg?
Well, here's the trend, is that I thought when there was a coup d'etat in 2000 when Al Gore won Florida and the Supreme Court said, we don't care, we're picking George Bush. And so, we haven't had a democracy since then. But every 4 years, the GOP, and I'm not being partisan about it, I'm nonpartisan, it's just the facts, ma'am, comes up with a new method of suppressing the vote of Black people, Hispanics, Asians, American Natives. So there's voters of color, the color blue. And this time what they've done is a brand new thing that hasn't been done in the United States since the Klan used this in 1946. Vigilante vote challenges. It says that I, Greg Pallast, can say that Dom Salvia, you do not live in Wisconsin. You should not be allowed to vote. Now, who am I to say that? I'm self-appointed. Vote fraud hunter, vigilante. Now, here's the thing. If you go to gregpallast.com, even just watch the trailer, or you can stream the film for free. Thank you, Leonardo, through gregpallast.com. the vigilante challengers, you'll see that I'm challenging one, I'm confronting one GOP vote challenger, a woman here in Georgia. I'm reporting to you from Georgia. A woman here in Georgia who personally challenged 32,132 people.
Come on, man. How can you challenge? You don't even know 32,000 people.
Wait. Well, here's the thing. So she challenged, and I can't make this, 32,132 people. I show her a photo of someone, say, a black neighbor of hers, a young black woman, Tamara Horn. And I said, do you know Tamara? No. Ever talked to her? Oh, no. Ever been to her house or had any contact with her? No. Well, you challenged her right to vote and 32,000 others. And she says, well, I don't have time to call 32,000 people. But you had time to challenge their votes. I said, by the way, that could violate the Ku Klux Klan Act, at which point she threw me out of her Gone with the Wind mansion. And I wasn't going to argue with her because right next to the front door, she had ammo all over the place, assault weapons. She had a loaded AR-15 next to the door. So I didn't continue. But you'll see this confrontation in the film. And then I confront another vigilante. Now, this guy actually dresses like a vigilante. Alton Russell from Southern Georgia, and he dresses up cowboy boots, cowboy hats, pearl-handled six shooter in a holster, which he pointed out to me was loaded. And he personally challenged 4,000 voters, including, and most of those voters he challenged were black soldiers at Fort Benning, Georgia. The black soldiers at Fort Benning, including Major Gamaliel Turner, 70 years old, career military, and
terrible.
And Turner calls the Georgia his. And now, by the way, you might think, oh, this guy's just a freak with his Doc Holliday getup. No. He may be a freak, but he's also chairman of the Republican Party in Southern Georgia.
Oh my!
Chairman of the Republican Party. He challenged 4,000 so black soldiers. Now here's Turner. What he did was he challenged soldiers who were assigned to other military bases, so they weren't at their home address. Well, believe it or not, American soldiers assigned to another base are allowed an absentee ballot. In fact, it's a military absentee ballot, even if they're black soldiers. Believe it or not, even black soldiers are allowed to have an absentee ballot. So he calls up and says, where's my ballot? To the county officials. And they say, oh, Mr. Turner, you've been challenged. He says, well, what does that mean? He says, no problem. You just come in to our office.
Come in.
And he said, wait. You're telling me he's in California, 2,700 miles away, that all I have to do is 2 days before the election, by the way, is show up and prove that I'm an American citizen again. And he, by the way, he did send in, he did make an appearance. Ultimately, he flew 5,000 miles round trip. He got his ballot counted, but the other 4,000 soldiers did not. And here's the, so this is what's going
so
on.
So it was
and
successful, Greg. It worked. Yeah, their shenanigans worked.
Let's put it this way. Now, in that year, that was 4 years ago, the 2020 election. And we were able, I'm working with my partners, NAACP, Black Voters Matter, and Rainbow Push. And we went to these boards elections, gave them the information, and even the Republican boards rejected almost all, in Southern Georgia, they knocked off about 12,000 voters. If they had knocked off 24,000, obviously Trump would have taken Georgia. Now, here's the danger. 4 years ago, there were 88 vigilante challengers, and those 88 challenged 180,000 voters. This time, the same group that fielded these guys, this is True the Vote out of Texas, the Trump front organization that did, you know, that film 2,000 Mules. So, and you'll see clips of that film in our film, Vigilantes, Inc. Now, what happened was they've gone from 88 challengers. Are you ready? They've signed up 40,000 challengers. And as Martin Sheen says at the beginning of the film, at the beginning of August, 2.5 months ago, they'd already challenged 851,000 voters. 851,000 voters. And by Tuesday, we expect 2 million voters to be challenged. Almost none of these voters have been informed that they've been challenged. They're supposed to get these cards, but most counties have no way to even, they don't know what to do with this stuff. It would cost millions of dollars to deal with this, to bring make people go into these offices. So this is the new mass challenge. And I'm afraid the NAACP, I just spoke to Gerald Griggs, the NAACP, head of the NAACP, and he's in our film. And he said, we expect 300,000 to 400,000 challenges in Georgia alone, including on Election Day and the day after Election Day, to stop the counting of mail-in and drop-box ballots, which are the way that the majority of Black people vote in Georgia. So you're seeing, and all these people, even if they mailed in their ballot, if they are challenged, their ballot cannot be counted. I want to repeat that. You could think you're voting, but you aren't. The other is that a lot of people be challenged and be given provisional ballots. Say, oh, and the lady behind the desk will say, here, take a provisional ballot. Don't worry about it. They'll count it. No, they won't. In 4 years ago, according to the Elections Assistance Commission, 10 million provisional ballots were handed out like candy, and 2.7 million of those ballots were rejected. And I want to tell you something.
Wow.
If you're a voter of color, the chance that you will be shunted to a provisional ballot is 300% higher than if you're white, and your ballot, the chance your ballot will be rejected if you're Black, is 700% higher than if you're white. So provisional ballots have become another new place for dumpsters for Black votes. The vigilante challenges will kick this off. And by the way, they are a ton of vigilante challenges in Wisconsin, if you're listening to this, or Michigan and Michigan. If you are challenged or you have a problem, do not take a provisional ballot. It's a placebo ballot. You think you voted? No, you haven't. So what you do is, in Wisconsin, you can register on Election Day. They may not tell you that from behind the desk. Re-register on the spot and then demand a regular ballot after you register. That's what you got
to
do.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is investigative reporter Greg Palace. His new video, his new film out, Vigilantes Inc., America's New Vote Suppression Hitman. Greg, I mean, we take this to the extreme, then everybody can challenge everybody's, and where does that leave us?
It leaves us with 851,000 people. And I got to tell you, all 88 challengers in Georgia were white Republican officials.
Couldn't we go then and challenge all those white 88 challengers? Why can't we go after them and do the same game that they're playing?
Absolutely not. I mean, the voting rights group says if that's happened to you, you don't want it to happen to anyone else, even your worst enemies. But we are now talking about suing them personally,
yes,
because they've defamed people. They violated the Ku Klux Klan Act, like this wacko in red. Well, I say wacko. She's a Republican, a party official. She works for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Why don't we go after them legally? So they'll have to spend $50,000 on lawyers. That might make them think twice about taking away their neighbor's right to vote. But this is ugly. And you'll see it all in Vigilantes Inc. Again, stream it for free. Go to gregpalast.com. The other place you can go is saveyourvote.org. Save your vote, not mine or Dom's or Matt's. Saveyourvote.org. And you can check your registration there, by the way. And you can also stream the film.
Hey, Greg, Matt Rothschild here.
Hey.
I watched the film this morning. I thought it was great.
Thank you.
You do mention the Bradley Foundation, which is located in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
What role are they playing in this? You mentioned a lawyer who used to practice for Foley and Lardner, Cleta Mitchell. What role she playing? Yeah.
Okay, so this, the True the Vote vigilante attacks are being funded principally by the Bradley Foundation. Thank you very much, Wisconsin.
It's not our fault, man.
if I'm in the deep south, but the money's coming from the deep north. From the people that unemployed the tens of thousands of workers that formerly worked at Allen Bradley up in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Once your biggest employer, they sold out and everything was moved to China. And now they're going after your vote because you can't. There's an old rule. They can't take away your job, can't take away your health insurance, can't take away your hopes unless they take away your vote. So that's what the Bradley Foundation has been doing. They put about $2 billion into vote suppression efforts.
Wow.
$2 billion. And Cleta Mitchell, who is still their foundation's lawyer and advising True the Vote, Cleta Mitchell, I don't know why she isn't indicted along with Donald Trump, because
right,
she was on the call to the Georgia Secretary of State saying, quote, find me and don't look in between the sofa cushions. Find me 11,780 votes. She's the lawyer. And the other lawyer on the call, Eastman, was indicted. I don't know how Cleta Mitchell got out of that one. But these are the people that are running the vigilante vote system. And by the way, Cleta Mitchell has her own vote challenge group called Eagle AI. By the way, if you recognize that name, Eagle Eye, which is how she pronounces it, Eagle Eye, that was back, if you remember, in the 1964 when Barry Goldwater ran. He had all these basically stormtroopers going into Hispanic polling stations led by this right-wing fascist named William Rehnquist. I don't know what happened to him, but anyway, later. But William Rehnquist was leading this campaign to go into Hispanic voting stations and ask and demand that people prove their citizenship. So they've picked that same Eagle AI is now back with Cleta Mitchell. They've challenged 10,000 people in Florida. Their aim is 250,000 challenges by election day, but we're talking 2 million by just True the Vote, which, by the way, as I keep saying, I'm not for vote fraud. If you have 2 million illegal voters, give me the names of two of them so we can go and arrest them. Not, right. I'm not only asking you to prove one out of a million. They went to court. They couldn't prove one single illegal voter on their list, but yet every judge has said, hey, fine with me. Fine with me. Stop these votes. This is brand new. So please, and watch the film, because it won't, this vigilante game, if this decides the election, because I think it's, I don't care who you want to vote for, but I think that the voters, not the vigilantes, should be picking our president. And look out, it's going to get violent too. We talk about the violence of these vigilantes. That's another issue that you see in the film.
Greg Palast, investigative reporter, his film, Vigilantes, Inc., America's New Vote Suppression Hitmen. New, kind of old, kind of retread, but here we are again. You can find it on gregpalast.com. Greg, I know you've been very busy. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for what you do. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dom. Thanks, Matt. Peace out.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. John Nichols, my guest from the Cap Times and the Nation magazine, sticking around for one more segment. John, thank you so much for your patience. We were so rudely interrupted by those commercials talking about the lack of endorsement from the LA Times and the Washington Post and the billionaires' impact on media. John, any more thoughts on that?
Sure. Before I was so rudely interrupted, here we are complaining about media.
Right.
But look, here's the thing. Billionaires have interests. They actually have a lot of interests in what government does. And, what the decisions of the owners of the Post and the LA Times, major newspapers, to intervene and to block endorsements, which both those publications clearly intended to do, ought to be troubling to us. And what it means is the publications aren't reading, or the owners of those publications are not reflecting the information that is reported in their own news columns, because there are many, many good reporters for those papers. So that's a bad thing. And it's frankly a function of something that's happened in America. We've had an awful lot of our newspapers get bought up by either wealthy people, like these guys, or hedge fund managers. And in both cases, they often stop doing endorsements because they don't want to offend anybody.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line, though, is that freedom of the press in America was established with the intent to offend. If you go back to the founding of the American experiment, they weren't, saying, someday, 200 years from now, there may be, some rich guy who owns a big company that ships you packages. And, you know, we want to make sure that he can do what he wants. That, you know, wasn't the concept. The concept was that you would have a lot of newspapers, a lot of media outlets, different, you know, forms of communication that would create a robust discourse. And you ask whether endorsements matter. They may not shift a ton of people, but they feed into that robust discourse. And some people saying, you know, we support this guy. Some saying we oppose. Endorsements are most important when they come from unexpected places, when a conservative paper, like many Texas papers in recent weeks, reject the Republicans because they think the Republicans are too crazy. Mm-hmm. Same thing would happen if a liberal paper rejected a Democrat. And so they do have meaning. They may not have immediate meaning, but they're part of that discourse. And boy, when you abandon that for self-serving, self-dealing, commercial purposes, you are saying two things. Number one, you have no understanding of freedom of the press. And number two, you have no respect for American democracy. Those are two pretty bad signals.
John Nichols
from that sounded too preachy.
From the Cap Times and the Nation magazine. No, not at all. Well, George Orwell said it, right? Journalism is printing something that someone does not want printed. Everything else is public relations. And it really, and I feel for the journalists, and I respect, you know, the journalists at the LA Times and the Washington Post, most of them anyway, and they're beside themselves. And a lot of them, they put their signatures to a letter objecting to it, and we can appreciate that. Ironically enough, what, they changed their tagline, John, to democracy dies in darkness, and then they shut the lights off. John, before we run out of time, I want to get your sense. I saw you tweeting out on Eric Hovde, and we haven't talked since the debate here with Senator Baldwin and millionaire Eric Hovde from California or Wisconsin. He really, really didn't know a lot about the farm bill. John, apparently he's not too into rural Wisconsin. What was your takeaway from that debate?
Well, that was my takeaway, man, right there. You know, like, you know. Look, here's the bottom line. You know, we got this thing called Google now. It's not that hard. It really, and with AI especially, it is not hard to get a download on the farm bill pretty easily, right? And if you're running for the U.S. Senate seat representing a state that leads the nation in specialty cheeses and cranberries and, you know, a million other things, right. And frankly, it still has a very substantial rural economy with hundreds of thousands of jobs, blah, 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 whole thing. You would think you would at least make a basic effort so that if by chance some farm radio reporter asked you a question in a debate, you could give a credible answer. Instead, he didn't even try to lie to people, which is kind of creepy, you know? At the very least, I want my politicians trying to lie to me.
I read it. I love all parts of the farm bill. It's my favorite bill. I've read it all, but it's very private to me. I don't want to talk about it right now.
Nicely done, Tom. No, that's actually a way. What's your favorite part of the farm bill? It's 2 Corinthians, you know. But what I'm saying is, it's like I really don't want politicians to lie. I think it's a horrible thing. Yeah. But I know that sometimes they do. And one of the things they do is if they don't know about something, they kind of filibuster in some, you know, vapid way. You know, farm bill is really important. And, you know, the liberals have gotten it all wrong. People like Tammy Baldwin, they just, you know, want to spend and spend and spend. But the way they spend doesn't help our farmers. And so when I get out there, I'm going to open up that farm bill and say, you know, hey, Wisconsin farmers, what do you need? How can we make your lives better? And I'm going to take that, you know, right into those committees, right to that floor. And I'm going to make sure we have a farm bill that's good for every Wisconsinite.
Perfect.
Now, I just said nothing. But I said nothing. But and yet, you know, it sounded okay, right?
Yes.
Eric Hovde didn't even bother to do that.
Yeah. Well, are you surprised, John? This is a guy that rolled out his campaign video for Senate and didn't mention the state of Wisconsin. 30 seconds left, John. Probably won't talk to you till after the election. What's your prediction, sir?
My prediction is Kamala Harris probably wins Wisconsin and Tammy Baldwin probably gets reelected. But it's not going to come easy. And as I said before, this is a very volatile week. So I could obviously and easily give you a prediction that was different in 2 days.
All right,
but
John.
I think where we're headed is there.
John Nichols from the Cap Times and the Nation magazine. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk real soon.
I look forward to it, brother.
Thanks, man.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.